notes for what I will be sharing with you today from the research of His Holiness Indra Dumna Maharaj, my own little research, Prabhupada's quotations, etc. And I really believe you will enjoy this very much. Perhaps this lecture will also inspire some of you to hear it again. I do hope it is so rich and deep. We have called this lecture Finding the Lost Treasure in Vilasvan. So here is a garland. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you. The way we conduct these Krishna Leela Kathas in Europe is we are absolutely dependent on group participation. So when I request you to say something, please don't be surprised to repeat some Sanskrit phrase or so, because it will aid the entire atmospheric situation of what we do. No? This lecture will also give an answer to many of your questions you have asked. How is it that the trees in the Govardhan Retreat Center have grown in such a short time to such heights? We will start with a quotation from the Braj Vilas Stava by Raghunath Das Goswami. Let us imagine or conceive of Raghunath as sitting on the banks of the sacred Radhakund, and in his mind he roams around Vrindavan, where he meets in his mind the various personalities which he describes in some detail in his work. We heard in one of the lectures that the devotee who wishes Krishna to appear in his life will also create a very convenient or comfortable situation for the Lord by meditating about Vrindavan. And today we even heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying something about his mind. Do you remember what he said? My mind is Vrindavan. Yes. Gandhavyakula bringa sanchaya chamu sangrishta pushpot karya prajat kalpalata palashinikarya vibrajitani sputam, etc. He says, repeatedly, again and again, I bow down to Sri Krishna's most dear 12 forests. These forests are filled with numerous flowers, so that the hummingbees who hover around them have something to drink. These bees become intoxicated by the sweet aroma of these flowers. Have you smelled in our project the Ratri? Please tell me the name again. Ratri Rani, yes. You can smell that and become also intoxicated with the fragrance when you go take the second entry to the long L-shaped building. It's somewhere, let me see, down here, no? And please smell it. It will be the experience of your life. So Raghunath says the bees are smelling this. There are many transcendental trees in Vrindavan. There are creepers. Creepers are these things that wind their way up the trees. There are many lakes, streams, rivers and mountains in these forests, and they certainly increase the beauty of Braj. Now, 12 forests are there, and they are mentioned in our scriptures. 7 reside on the west of the Yamuna. That's where Vrindavan town is nowadays, and 5 at the east. And your heart will be comforted if you hear their names. I think it will be doubly comforted if you speak their names also. Here they are. Please repeat after me. Madhuvan, Talavan, Kumudavan, Bahulavan, Kamyavan, Kadiravan, Vrindavan. And then 5 on the eastern side. Shrivan. That's where Lakshmi Devi meditates to be able to come to Vrindavan, but so far no success. Badravan, Bandiravan, Bilvavan, and finally Loha and Mahavan. Now, my dear devotees, each one of these forests has a particular blessing to give to the pilgrims who go there. Therefore, you find devotees going on Braj Mandal Parikram, where eventually they go to all these 12 forests to collect their amazing blessings. There is one, I would like to give an example, 2 examples. One is Kumudavan. Kumudavan was on the western side, and Lord Shiva explains the benefit of going there. Oh, Devi. Yes, says Gauri. Anyone who goes to this Kumudavan will be worshipped in my eternal abode. That means Vrindavan can transport you into the eternal kingdom of God. That's why some devotees like to come here at the end of their life and give their bodies up. Our Giriraj Maharaj has actually for them established a hospice for end of life. And many, many devotees wish that others scatter their ashes in the Yamuna, because yes, the forest has this power that it brings you to the spiritual world. Now, there is Vrindavan forest, and we here are in the greater Vrindavan forest. Can I read to you the benefit of staying in this forest? I will tell you the general benefit, and then I will try to share with you the specific benefit of staying in this particular place. Skanda Purana says, there is this auspicious Vrindavan which is always under the shelter of Vrindadevi. Yes, She goes here and takes care of all the plants, including the tulsi plants. In this forest, Hari is always present. And this forest is served by devakas, and devatas like Brahma and Shiva. So Vrindavan is especially known as being filled with gardens of tulsi plants, but there are other attractions in this Vrindavan. First and foremost, the sacred mountain Govardhan is there, and in that Govardhan again, many, if not all, holy places reside. There is, for instance, also, do you remember, two kunds, which are very much praised in our scriptures? Radha Kund, yes, all the sacred rivers are there. And, of course, Syama Kund, no? So, this has a very special place. There are vines and trees. There are trees with vines going around them. Vines, that's something which you see crawling up almost like mountain climbers, the buildings of the GRC. No? So these trees and vines can fulfill one's desire. One can stand under them and desire something. Not in a scattered way, you know, that you desire so many things and, okay, let's go to the desire trees. But if you have a focused, heart-filled desire, it can be fulfilled. And what there, but in Vrindavan, everyone is interested in sweetness and therefore doesn't ask, oh Lord, give me a Mercedes Benz, you know. They don't wish this, no. Staying in Vrindavan, has been said in Skanda Purana, freeing one from the sinful reactions, but there is something much more. It can give love of Godhead. However, we will be tested. There's a famous story in Itihasa about a Brahmana who was worshipping his Shalagram Shilas in Haridwar and who heard about the special power of Vrindavan Dham. So he came here, and when he arrived, he sat at the banks of the Yamuna, enjoying the beautiful atmosphere with the chirping and so on. He studied the scriptures here, recited verses here, and chanted many rounds. And around midday time, he went to beg for alms. It's called Madhukari, from which he would live. This went on for a few years, but he felt no change in his heart. Some of you have told me confidentially, we come so often, but we are still waiting for the change which we hear in the lectures will come play. So the Brahmin was becoming a little dejected. Then something happened to him, the test, you can say, which almost broke the camel's back. He had collected his madhukari, it was on a metal plate. And that was the only pleasure in his life, to eat. No? He would never miss that time of begging. Now, as he ate, suddenly he felt the gaze of a little boy falling on him. That boy came from behind the tree, he ran and accelerated his walk, took the plate and ran away with this plate. This was too much for the Brahmana. He said, this is too much. I'm going to complain with Krishna. I came here giving up everything and now my plate of prasadam is stolen. That's all I got. So as he was lamenting like this, he stayed at that time in Vashana, and one priest said, here in Vashana, the merciful Radharani rules. You should write your letter of complaint against Krishna and give it to her in the Sriji Mandir. You should deliver it, and perhaps she might take on your cause. So he wrote the letter of complaint. Krishna is declared the Lord and Master. It is said that coming to his holy Dham will free us from our burdens and give us love. But all these claims are not true. He's not protecting his devotees. My plate of prasadam is gone. And he wrote many other accusations about Krishna. The Shastras are not true. They say he gives the devotees what they need, but look, most of the time they're beggars who don't get anything. He had a long list of complaints. He walked up the stairs. He went into the Sriji Mandir. Not many people were there. And he walked forward to the altar, intending to give his letter with the many complaints to Srimati, to the priest who would put the letter at Radharani's lotus feet. But as he came closer, he saw a little boy between Srimati Radharani and who's known there as Ladli Lal, and Krishna. The boy said, no, no, don't give your letter of complaint to Radha. He was actually very worried. He thought, in American English, he would get the sauce from Srimati Radharani. And this was too much. And as he looked at the boy, it became clear to him. It was the same one he saw who came behind a tree and stole his plate, and now he was on the altar. My dear devotees, don't think these are exaggerated stories. Do we have in our sacred scriptures examples of Krishna appearing in a visible human-like boy form? Yes, we have, someone says. Could you supply the reference, perhaps? Madhavendra Puri, yes, the Lord broke him. That's one incident. There are many here in Vrindavan which are told, but just for us, it is very important that we see we have the references. So, my dear devotees, we go to Vrindavan primarily for the fulfillment of sacred aspirations. Yes, we may have a shopping list from our temples, and our dhotis and saris may be torn, and we need to fulfill the need of decent dress and all. Sorry. But our purpose in life is clear, of coming here, is clearly fulfilling divine aspirations. And I really want to join Bhujan Prabhu in an observation that we shared about this this group. It was actually on the Holy Name retreat, but it is also true here. You are so wonderful in the sense that you are taking part amply, the lectures are equally good visited, even at the early hours of guided japa. Well, there is a little improvement possible, but general, very, very nice. So I would like to now share with you something that came very new for me. What in particular is the significance of this place? My curiosity came when Vrindavan Vinod said, this is actually Vilaswan. Vilas, well, what's that? Well, I've never heard it mentioned in the 12 forests. And I do not know if it was him, but he said, or someone said, there are many sub-forests, not so major like the 12, but sub-forests. And you will find a mention of Vilasvan in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is there and which is important for us to know that this is really there. There is this verse, it says, Vayaso vividatve. Vayaso vidate pi sarva bhakti rashashraya dharmi kishora evatra nitya lila vilasavan. No, nitya lila, the eternal pastimes go on in where? Vilasavan. And here this forest is actually identified with Lord Krishna in his Kishora age, that is his age when he is meeting and engaging in pastimes with the beautiful gopis of Vrindavan and Srimati Radharani. If you wish to find this reference, it is available for your pleasure in your heart in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 20, verse 380. Madhya 20, 380. So what is about this Vilasvan? There is an ancient verse which says, all things are easily found in Vilasvan. There, even the souls who have lost their eternal identity as servants of Krishna can find these identities by the grace of this forest and the holy names. Do you all know what is your eternal identity? I don't know. Perhaps some of you, and those who know will keep it secret, but many of us are perhaps not able to pinpoint that. We can say in a general way we are somehow a servant of Krishna. That's true, but what type, what service, in which form? So anyone who is doing here bhajan can find his identity as an eternal soul by the grace of this forest and what else? The holy names. Yes, you listen very, very nice. Narayan Bhatta is a great devotee who walked through the entirety of Braj, and he composed a pranam mantra, a mantra to which you offer obeisances, for Vilasvan. But before we tell you this, I would like to say, I will tell you very soon what happened here. And we request you to be absolutely attentive, because Srila Prabhupada has said about listening to the pastimes. He says, the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, are so powerful that simply by reading, hearing, and memorizing this book, Krishna book, one is sure to be transformed to the spiritual world, which is ordinarily very difficult to achieve. In other words, by reading or hearing about Krishna, first we become attached to Krishna, and then from this attachment to Krishna, then a good sambandha can develop. Initial, it will be a little beginning, but then it will become stronger and stronger, so that you one day will wake up in the eternal spiritual world. Is this good? Good. So this is about hearing Krishna Katha. Bhuja Prabhu and myself call this therapeutic hearing. It's the best therapy for those who suffer from amnesia. Do you know what that is? After an accident, patients suffer a complete loss of memory sometimes. It's called amnesia. And it does happen also to our older devotees. They get a partial forgetfulness due to various biological factors and so on. So they can find themselves. My dear devotees, let me come to the mantra of offering obeisances. I like you to sit straight and then repeat after me this mantra if you feel unwilling due to internal doubts. No need to do it, but you can also do it. What it says is obeisances to you, O Krishna, in the form of this Vilas Van. Obeisances to Krishna, to you, Krishna, in the form of this Vilas Van. Obeisances to the holy place that demonstrates various spotless pastimes for the pleasure of the Sakis. It's now concrete. Here are spotless pastimes. And you will soon hear what it is, and there will be times when you will smile, and some of you might even laugh. It's this humor element is there. Hands please in the prayer for guests. Vilasi rupini tubhyam, vilasi rupini tubhyam, nama krishnaya te namah, shakti varga subtataya, subtataya krida vimala dashini. So, obeisances to you, O Krishna, in the form of this Vilasvan. Obeisances to this holy place, Vilasvan, that demonstrates various spotless pastimes for the pleasure of the Sakis. My dear devotees, the forest of Vilasvan is slowly coming up. Not slowly, actually quickly. It seems to us who are observing this as if the trees really have an internal communication where they say to each other, grow. Because it's so fast, so fast. Making a forest should not just be done under the pressure of donors. It is done in order to please Radha and Krishna, because then they can come here and perform their pastimes. So this forest is now coming up again. It was gone. It looked like a desert a little when we came here. But what is visible is the Vilas Sarovara. Some say it's identical with the Vilachurkund. That's when you go down this ring road and the first temple on your right side. That's the Vilachurkund. So, where Radha and Krishna would sit and rest and talk with each other. So, the pastime, which of all the pastimes is so memorable, is like this. Springtime had arrived. Now the trees and creepers were opening to the wonders of spring. They produced sweetly fragrant flowers. New leaf shouts came, and Sometimes those who came here took the flowers and put them on the ear, or they put a leaf and twigs there for decoration. Seeing that this time is ideal for their meeting, Radha and Krishna made an appointment through messengers. And Krishna came to the appointed spot. He needed to leave his cowherd boys. He came from the south, that's this direction. He came. He must have passed Giriraj either around Puchiri, or perhaps he climbed over Giriraj. And Radha came from the north. Radharani, Krishna. And as Krishna arrived in time, he looked around and he could not find Srimati Radharani. He could not find her beautiful fragrance that would sometimes linger in the air when she actually was there, then went into hiding. Krishna could also not see any trace of Radha's arrival. He would sometimes, when he missed Radha, ask the trees and the creepers for whereabouts, and the creepers would go, this time they didn't know, and so on. And Srimati Radha and Krishna, after Radha could not be found anywhere for a long time, he first thought to himself, never mind, ladies are sometimes late. They may need to decorate themselves, or there may be other reasons and so on. But as time progressed, he first became impatient. Why is he late? And then concerned. Is that a dangerous situation? And then anxious. There are two reasons for Krishna's anxiousness. When there is real love, one is concerned for the other that no harm should come to them. This is Rupa Goswami in Ujjwala Nemotni. Even if there is no cause, but this time there was a cause for Krishna's concern. He had heard rumors. The rumors which he heard said that King Kamsa had become aware of the extraordinary good qualities of Srimati Radharani and her beauty, and wanted to meet Radha. Now, kings, especially demoniac kings, were known to meet with, to be attracted to physical beauty of the opposite sex, and they would keep these ladies like booty from war. Do you know some of these kings who had an amazing, numerous harem? Ravan, yes. And from time to time, the eunuchs who were there to guard these were asked to bring especially beautiful women to the king, and the women were informed, fulfill the wishes of the king. No? Yeah. So Krishna was highly concerned for Radha's safety. And finally, he decided, I can't wait any longer at the appointed place. I have to go and search her. Now, fortunately, Srimati Radharani was not withheld because of confrontation with demonic elements. By the way, we can rest in peace. These demons can never touch the eternally blissful form of Radha or Rukmini or Sita and so on. But in the Leela, Krishna forgot that. Radha was delayed for a very sweet reason. She had come to Vilasvan, and when she entered Vilasvan, she had seen the beautiful flowers on the trees and flowers everywhere, and heard the buzzing of ecstatic bees who sang beautiful ragas and so on. And she thought, I'm going to meet Krishna, let me make a garland from these exquisite flowers. And she had stretched high on her, someone please help me, there's the heel and then the opposite direction, toes, yeah, but there is something before the toes. That, the toes for you. So she had stretched, and as she stretched, my dear devotees, the position of her ankle moved, and her wonderful ankle bells slipped down and fell on the ground. So she lost her ankle bells. When she had collected the flowers and had strung them, she noticed there is not the sound of my left ankle bell. Is it the left or right? I don't know. My ankle bell is lost. Did I lose it amongst the trees? After searching everywhere, she thought, maybe I lost it amongst the gunja berry bushes. And she really, with all her sakis, began to scam or move through the dust of Vrindavan to find that lost ankle bells. Now, my dear devotees, Radharani has so many anchor bells stored in her cupboards in Vashana. The loss of one is absolutely not problematic. But she was very fond of this particular anchor bell, or the set of anchor bells, since Krishna had personally given it to her at a very special moment in their transcendental relationship. In fact, he had personally put the ankle belt around her ankle. And this ankle belt had also a name. The name was Ratna Gopura. So when she couldn't find the Ratna Gopura anchor bells, she started to call out very loudly, Ratna Gopura, oh Ratna Gopura, where are you? But no response came. However, Krishna, who had decided to walk around Giriraj in an attempt to find her whereabouts, heard her beautiful voice calling out, Ratna Gopura, oh Ratna Gopura. Just at the moment, she felt so relieved after this anxiety had almost pressed his heart down, and he moved very quickly. I heard that he actually ran to where the sound came from. And so on. Now, Radha and the Sakis had fixed their eyes on the ground. Without any movement, they looked at the ground and they didn't see Krishna coming. All what Radha suddenly saw In front of her were the two divine lotus feet of Radha. Her hands were full of dust from, you know, sifting through the dust. And Krishna, smiling, he said, may I know what you are looking for? Ratna Gopura, said Radha. Who's Ratna Gopura? Is that a new gopi? It's my anchor bells. Oh, said Krishna, that's not a problem. You know, let's go to a Surabhi Kund. Let's sit there at the Kund and engage in our transcendental pastimes. So Krishna took her hand, wanting to go with Radha, but Radha took her hand. No, I need this Ratna Gopura anchor bells. It is very important. There is no substitute for it. Okay, said Krishna, then what should be done? Well, we look here, and you look in the flower garden over there. Krishna was looking, but no anchor bell was found in the flower garden. What was found was a beautiful flower-bearing creeper that was winding up a desire tree, and Krishna quickly cut it, made it into an anchor bell, and went to his beloved and put the flower anchor bell around her ankle. But Radha was absolutely not convinced. This will not do, Shyamsunda. We need Ratna Gopura. So love means to recognize the desires of the beloved and submit to these desires. We have all heard that one of Radha's 24 qualities is that she submits her lover Krishna. So Krishna sat down and he now seriously needed to think how to find the lost treasure, how to find Ratna Gopura. He gave it the best thought. Then an idea came to him. And with his foot, he stroked the beautiful, wish-fulfilling earth of Vrindavan. Haven't we here heard about such pastimes where Krishna strikes with his foot the ground and something amazing happened? Yes? I mean, some of you were at Radha Kund and Syama Kund. That's how they manifested. Some of you were in Nidavan, no? Where some of these things happened. I heard Krishna put sometimes his flute in the ground and kundas appear. So Krishna prayed to Mother Bhumi, from the ground came an unlimited amount of anchor bells. So Srimati Radharani, Krishna called her and said, look at that. Then he reached into this huge treasury of anchor bells and took one out that exactly matched the lost anchor belt. It was a golden chain, and around it very small golden bells that made runo 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 the sound of this. No? What do you think about that? Said Radha. He said to Radha. Radha was fixed on that one anchor bell. At first she did not know what she to think. There was an identical anchor bell by Krishna's power and the power of Vrindavan. Then Krishna gave a convincing argument. If you don't quickly accept this anchor belt, all of Vrindavan will turn into anchor belts. Because this is the power of Vrindavan Dham. So therefore, you kindly accept this anchor belt. And Srimati Radharani then smiled and accepted this anchor belt. Even today, my dear devotees, such anchor belts can be found on the bank of Vilasa Sarova, but only by those who've unflinching and deep faith in the divine couple. There is one verse, again I took this from Indradumna Maharaj, by Raghava Sharanadas. He says, looking at such leelas in this one, that one should chant nine names of the Lord every day by remembering the pastimes of the Lord. And if one does so, I know no one of you will do this, but I give this anyway out, the Lord will, one will attain the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So let us chant this one time, then there is a huge reason. Rasa Sumudra. Krishna is an ocean of devotion. Rasa Saram. He is the essence of rasa and devotees, devotion. Yes. Rasa Gambiram. He is the condensed form of all rasas. Rasa Mata. He tastes all the rasas. Rasa Lolupa. In fact, he is greedy for all the rasas. Rasa Lopa. He is the place for all rasas stay. Rasa Akilam. He is the storehouse of all rasas. Rasa Virtana. He is the reason for all changes in rasa. And Rasa Sambhavam. From him all rasas manifest. If we deal with Krishna and Krishna Katha, my dear devotees, it will help us to remember the Taittiriya Upanishad's description about God. And then you will understand why he is able to attract Radha and the beautiful gopis, and why it is that if we hear about him, it is sure that we are transferred to the spiritual world. Krishna has a head. Do you know of what this head is made? I also didn't know it. Of pleasure. Krishna has a right side. This side is made of joy. Krishna has a left side. This side is made of delight. And Krishna has also an identity. This identity is made out of bliss. And therefore, chanting his names with affectionate adara, not just affectionate, with affection and respect, no, that will make us very, very blissful. Yes. My dear devotees, to end this katha, two things need to be done. Once Prabhupada was asked in Hyderabad, have you seen Krishna? And at that time Krishna says, yes, and Prabhupada says, yes, and Premanjana Churita, he quoted the Brahma Samhita verse, you can also see Krishna if your eyes are smeared with love. It means really you have to get a new set of eyes. Another time, Srila Prabhupada was asked, from where do you get the knowledge which you speak about and write about? And he said very matter-of-factly, Krishna tells me. My dear devotees, these blessings are definitely there, they can work, but I think they work in installments. And I have talked to one regular visitor of the Govardhan retreats who said as he visited more and more sweet realizations came to him. So this installments, you know, love is not given all at once. Even amongst us as human beings, it is growing. No, it should grow. Of course, there is the initial infatuation, but that is very short-lived. The real love we are looking for is growing all at once. Therefore, I want to encourage you to come to this to apply yourself to the Vilasvan. Do you know that anything you do here is directly witnessed by the Lord? When they built the temple, the new temple in Jatipur, you can see it from the roof as a white building with two flowing flags. They flow in the breeze. And the deity said to them, to the builders, make sure that you make a special window so that I can always look down into my special forest, Vilasvan. I think we are moving under the eyes of God here. And that is very, 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 very nice. I also want to say a wonderful a note of gratitude for those who are here and who have planted these wonderful trees. Do you also feel very, the trees, no? Yes, it is a wonderful habit amongst devotees to build gardens and trees and restore the beauty of Vrindavan's forest so that Radha and Krishna can grow and come here. And I wish that all of us are recipients of one great mercy, something that is spelled out in a verse that is just so encouraging. All things are easily found in Vilasvan. There, in this forest, even the souls who have lost their eternal identity as the servants of Krishna can find these identities by the grace of this forest and the holy name. With this, we close our Vrindavan Pastimes book. And we open ourselves to the holy name. I will request those who are familiar of playing kartals in a slow way to pick up a set of kartals and accompany this. I noticed only one talented instrumentalist plays, but we others are silent. We need to do this. What did you think about what you heard? It's nice to know that we are in a place that has significance, no? It's nice to know, further know that we are in a place where assistance or help is found. And I think it's also nice we are in a place where wonders happen, like this fast growth of these beautiful trees. I think it is nice to know the retreat center appeared here in Vilaswan. It's nice to also be grateful to those who take care of this, even when there are not so many guests or just marriage parties with Haldi and all that. We will today chant for about half an hour and perhaps a little bit more, but not so long, because you all have gone on outings. Some of you have completed the entire Govardhan Parikrama, others have gone to various other places, and therefore we will end a little bit closer. Now I'm thinking to go down where I can be in close contact with those who play the instruments, and when they go too fast I can look at them.